We now bring to these microphones David James. David and I have a weekly conversation. We look at an issue that is confronting the body of Christ. We try to give some insight into the issue, and then bottom line, we go to the Word of God to say what the Bible says about this particular subject. We're going to do that again today. Very interesting conversation. You do not want to go away from the radio right now. David, a couple of weeks ago, we dealt with the failed predictions concerning the Shemitah and the blood moons, teaching that has influenced millions of people. Now this week, I would like for us to talk about another set of teachings that are also, unfortunately, getting a lot of attention concerning the end times and the events that will unfold.
Well, that's right. We had discussed the fact that even though you and I believe the Bible clearly teaches that the church will be raptured, that is, caught up to be with the Lord prior to the seven-year tribulation period, there are well-known men like Wally Schubert, Joel Richardson, Alan Kirshner, Joe Schimmel, Jacob Prash, and many others who are teaching that the church will go through at least half or even all of Daniel's 70th week, and they're writing books and articles and doing interviews, and Joe Schimmel has even produced a four-hour-long documentary that just recently came out called Left Behind or Led Astray, and it's devoted to attacking and dismantling the pre-trib rapture view.
And let me just add, there's some mainstream teachers of God's Word that are following that same line of thought about a mid-trib or a end of the tribulation type rapture. One of them would be the Bible teacher, a radio program, a Christian program across the nation, a man named James McDonald, who went on the air himself and said, I'm changing to a mid-trib rapture position. And then he went ahead and followed that up by saying, because everybody else is doing it. That's really concerning to me. What else is striking when you read and hear about some of these guys who are saying and using such strong language they use to attack the motives and the integrity of those of us who hold to a pre-tribulational rapture of the church?
Well, that's true. I was just reading an article earlier today where Wally Schubert said this, isn't it amazing that the scoffers would always allegorize literals to serve an evil agenda and feed people hatred while he accuses us who exposes his evil deeds as filled with hate, while at the same time he proclaims himself a possessor of all love for Christ and his church? That's a terrible statement. Then Jacob Prash posted a video a couple of weeks ago, and he said this, there's the issue of vested interest. What would happen if somebody wrote books in a series of books predicated on pre-tribulationalism and then were forced to confront the fact they may be wrong? They dare not confront the fact because they've sold too many books, too many recordings, and built ministries on it. Well, you and I teach about this a lot, and it's certainly not because we're interested in our reputations being diminished if we would change our view, or because we're invested in book sales. We want to teach the truth.
That's the bottom line, just to simply teach God's Word from a literal perspective. David, it might be helpful for our listeners to just briefly explain the major views concerning the timing of the rapture relative to the tribulation and the second coming.
Right. Well, the pre-trib rapture view is the view that the church will be raptured prior to Daniel's 70th week, prior to the day of the Lord, the seven-year tribulation period. The mid-tribulational view believes that it will happen at exactly the midpoint of the tribulation when the Antichrist goes into the tribulation temple. The pre-wrath view believes that it will happen before the great tribulation connected with the sixth seal in Revelation 6. And the post-trib view says that it will be the same as the second coming of Christ, and that the church will go through the entire tribulation.
You know, the main view among we who are conservative evangelicals for well over 100 years has been that the rapture will happen prior to the tribulation. What are some of the main biblical reasons for believing that this is the correct view? And I'll just jump in there as well and help out that.
Sure. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, which talks about the fact that we will be caught up in the clouds to be with the Lord forever, it was to comfort the Thessalonian believers who thought they were in the tribulation because of false teachers. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, indicates that the lawless one will be revealed when the restrainer is taken out of the way, and we believe the Holy Spirit is probably the restrainer because he is referred to as he, a masculine personal pronoun. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says that they are to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Later in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says God did not appoint us to wrath. In Revelation 3:10, he writes to the church of Philadelphia, John does, and says, I will keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole world.
Yeah, that's an interesting verse. I love that because he says, I will keep you from, not take you out. And the Greek grammar, as well as the English grammar, says, I will keep you from, not take you out of the tribulation period. One other thought there in Revelation as well. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, you see the word church used some 19 times. Now, it's going to be used again in chapter 22 of Revelation, but not pertaining to the time of the tribulation. It's simply the word church will be used there. And so, after chapter 4, verse 1, which I do believe depicts the rapture of the church in the book of Revelation, the mention of the church is no longer there, indicating the church is not there during the next 16 chapters of detailed information about the tribulation period. David, I think it would probably be important for us to take a few moments and consider the other views. First, the post-trib rapture view. What is the basis for this view by the people who are propagating it?
Well, they say the church has always suffered persecution, so there's no reason to think that we won't go through the tribulation. They also see the coming of Christ and the rapture as one event, and one of the passages they point to is Matthew 24 concerning one taken and one left, and they think that refers to the rapture. And then they equate the last trumpet judgment in Revelation with the rapture trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15.
That is a very interesting thought from Matthew 24, verse 37 and following. And it says there in verse 37, as it was in the days of Noah, the ones taken in the days of Noah were the ones taken to judgments. The ones left would be Noah, his wife, and the three sons and their wives. Very interesting perversion of Scripture. How would you respond to their arguments, though?
Well, one of them would be exactly what you said. The parallel between Noah's judgment and Noah's time with the flood breaks down if that's the rapture. Also, the persecution of Christians throughout history has not been because of the wrath of God. But what happens in the tribulation is the wrath of God. So it's two different time periods, two different issues. Also, you think about the tribulation survivors. We would say that those who come to faith during the tribulation will survive on into the millennium to populate the millennium. But if the rapture occurs at the end of the tribulation, then there's nobody left in physical human bodies, non-resurrection bodies, to populate the millennial kingdom.
You know, it's not only biblically incorrect, it's logically incorrect as well. Okay, now how would you respond about the mid-trib and pre-wrath views, which are very similar, by the way? What are their main arguments?
Well, they would agree the church doesn't go through the Great Tribulation, but it has to do with the issue of the wrath of God and when it begins. Alan Kirshner, for example, calls the first half of the tribulation the Antichrist tribulation, which is not a biblical designation. And I would respond by saying that God always uses human agency to carry out his judgments and wrath. So to say that the first judgments, even though they happen because of wars and the Antichrist, are not God's judgment, doesn't fit with a pattern. He brought the Babylonians to judge Israel, and that was considered a day of the Lord as well in that time. And the day of the Lord will come as Daniel's 70th week, and God will use the Antichrist and wars and human agency.
There's another issue out there, David, that is gaining some broad acceptance. It's the idea that the Antichrist will be a Muslim, which has been made popular by Joel Richardson. Why does he believe this, and how would you respond to that?
Well, he relies largely on the Islamic view of the end times, in which they see the Mahdi, the last imam, who along with Jesus Christ will establish a global Islamic caliphate, as having the characteristics of the biblical Antichrist. And yes, there are similarities, but the biblical problems are much more different. You know, Daniel interpreted a dream by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar that makes it clear that the final world empire will be connected to the Roman Empire, and the final king, meaning the Antichrist, will come from that empire. Also, the armies of the Islamic world will be destroyed by God in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And there's no way that an Islamic leader who will be hailed by Muslims as a world leader will forge a peace treaty with Israel. And there's no way that the Islamic world would hail this world leader as God, because 2 Thessalonians 2 says the Antichrist will go into the rebuilt Jewish temple and declare himself to be God. So there are just multiple issues with that.
Yeah, when you take God's word and come bottom line with it, these things, these ideas of a Muslim Antichrist, of a other than pre-trib rapture stance, seem to fall away, melt away into what God's word has to say. Well, David, although there are some influential men, like you mentioned, Wally Schubert, Joel Richardson, Carl Gallups, and others who argue that it is dangerous to teach that the church will not go through the tribulation. Let's turn the tables on them. Is it dangerous to believe that the church will go through the tribulation?
It absolutely is, for a couple of reasons. Jesus said no man will know the day or the hour, and that was from his perspective back in the first century. When the clock starts ticking, when the covenant with Israel is signed, we will know the day or the hour to the exact day. But if we believe that the church will go through the tribulation, that means that people will be waiting for the revelation of the Antichrist to determine whether they're going to believe any of this concerning end times prophecy. But we know that the coming of the Lord will be as a thief in the night, and people would be caught unawares if they think that they're going to be signs and prophetic fulfillment beforehand. We know that there's no signs, no prophecy that has to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord in the clouds to catch up his church.
You know, I think that this conversation is so important that you might want to re-listen to it. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com. Go to PTRN, Prophecy Today Radio Network. There you can re-listen to the conversation that I had with David. In addition to that, please call a friend. Tell them they need to hear what David and I had to say today. A very, very important subject. David, thank you so much for your research, your insight. God bless you, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy.